You're listening Across the Border, and we're in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and pick up here at verse 10. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of Yahuwah. Terror? You know, I believe that, because I hear it all the time, people, unbelievers, skeptics, write me things like, if God is so loving, and they always refer to the loving God of the evangelical movement, because of course the evangelical movement is all about just bringing people in, including all of their idolatry, being inclusive, bringing everyone in, not condemning anyone. But here Paul writes about knowing the terror. Terror? You know, we got a war on terrorism. Well, a war on terrorism, yes. Knowing the terror of the Lord. You think the war on terrorism will extend to the gospel, the terror of the gospel? Well, this is what hate speech is about. It's perhaps that's part of their war on terror. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. And it goes along with the fear of the Lord. We don't want to talk about that either. Because men might repent if they knew the terror of the Lord. If they had the fear of God in them. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but do give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in the heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Yes, if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that's a statement, not a question. Continuing. Wherefore, henceforth, know we no man after the flesh. Yea, though we have known Christ after the flesh, yet now henceforth know we him no more. And of course, we don't know him after the flesh anymore. Paul speaking. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. We are ambassadors. We are ambassadors for Christ. Christ is our King, and ambassadors for a kingdom, for his kingdom. Be reconciled unto God, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made righteousness, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Chapter 6. We then, as workers together with him, beseech you also that you receive not the grace of God in vain. For he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation I have succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed, but in all things approving ourselves as the ministers of God, in much patience, in afflictions, in necessities, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in watchings, in fastings, by pureness, by knowledge, by long-suffering, by kindness, by the Holy Ghost, by love unfeigned, by the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness, on the right hand and on the left. And that would be righteousness in everything we do, the right hand and the left. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and good report, as deceivers and yet true. And of course, he's getting here to evil reports and our reputation, whether it be honorable or dishonorable in the world, of course. As unknown and as yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastened and not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet making many rich, as having nothing and yet possessing all things. O ye Corinthians, our mouth is open unto you, and our heart is enlarged. Ye are not straitened in us, but you are straitened in your own bowels. Now, as a recompense in the same, I speak as unto children, be ye also enlarged. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord, and of course concord there is a reference to a contract or an agreement, and what concord has Christ with Belial, or a concordat? You've heard of these kind of things, but it's a writing with Belial. Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel, or unbeliever, basically? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. And as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith Yahuwah, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith Yahuwah, the Almighty. And of course it says in the Authorized King James Version there, the Lord Almighty. Be not unequally yoked with unbelievers. 2 Corinthians 6:14. And this is usually used in the church to teach its members not to marry outside their denomination in many cases, or outside the faith in many other cases. At least they must make a profession of faith. And that's applicable, that we should not marry. A woman should not marry outside the faith, and neither should a man take a wife outside the faith. In Israel, of course, it was outside. It was the same thing. It was outside the faith, but generally accepted that you shouldn't take a wife outside of national Israel or outside of the children of Israel. And however, we've gone through much of the Old Testament, and we saw, we just went through the book of Ruth, and Ruth was a Moabitess. So we see not really an exception, but we see a clarification. Many would call it an exception and say, well, we can't make the exception the rule. Well, I don't believe it was an exception. I believe it was a clarification that faith and belief was more important than flesh and blood, genealogy, or nationality, or color, or race. Faith was more important because, of course, Ruth was a woman of great faith. And many people gloss over the fact that her faith was the beauty of her character. And I'll have that posted there, the book of Ruth. I think if you go back to my Well, it'll be there posted on my website at Cross the Border. In case you missed that, that was a 2-hour study we got through the Book of Ruth. And I think that it's the same thing for Israel, clarified, especially in the Book of Ruth and in many other instances where believers came in from outside of national Israel, and some even placed in the lineage of the Messiah, I think, to clarify that faith is more important than nationality, faith is more important than race, faith is more important than all of those considerations. So be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? But I think this is one of the scriptures that I use in my declaration of repentance, and I list as one of the laws of God, along with the Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, that I can't have any concord or agreements or contracts with the ungodly. No, I cannot enter into contracts with the ungodly. And do I enter into any contracts with the ungodly? Well, I did in the past. I was entered into, well, the Socialist Security contract. Someone entered into that for me. And when I became an adult, I never questioned it. They said, well, what is your Social Security number? So I went down to the Social Security office and applied for a card so I'd know what my number was. And so I could show them the card with the number so I could work. So I could work and earn bread and support my family and give to causes that I believed in. And that was a good thing. But I accepted the agreement. And that's how devious our enemy is, that we accept by implication, by action. There's an implied contract when we go on, when we don't question those things, and we go on to affirm them. That is our affirmation, is an acceptance of the contract. You don't necessarily have to sign it. But if you were an adult and no one signed you up, you would have to go down and sign up for it. You would have to enter into a concord against the law of God, which says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. And actually, in Proverbs, and see, I find in the New Testament, I find in the Old Testament concerning the law of God and our behavior and prohibitions and how we're to, how we are to be in the world and not of it. And I drew the illustration of, not marrying outside the faith, how that was affirmed in Israel, clarified on many occasions, not exceptions, clarifications of the reality. Yes, by the letter of the law, if you were an Israelite believer following the faith with all your heart, you could be married to an Israelite who was not a believer, but even because the law, the strict letter of the law, did not concern the spirit or the matters of faith. It was only applicable to the letter. And that was the fault of the letter. And that's why Paul says the letter killeth, but the spirit giveth life. But we have the clarifications, like I said, in the Book of Ruth, Aaron, and several other occasions where it affirmed that the spirit is that which gives life. And that is the faith, the true faith, was the important thing, and not the letter of the law. So we are not to have any concord with Belial. And let me mark my place here. What concord hath Christ with Belial? And you know, he walks in us. And that's what Paul is saying here. He walks in us. So whatever agreement we make with the world, we're making between him and the world. Does our Creator need the benefits of mammon? We are the temple of God. He lives in us. Certainly he's not going to provide for us in our old age, is he? Or if something happens to us, oh, what will happen? God is not going to provide for us. No, I think a lot of these things determine, and especially, well, most people can't see them, don't see them, never question these things. But I got to go back here again to our sister verse over here in Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 10, where it says, My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Is that the same thing as, like, be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers? It's exactly the same thing, just in different words. My son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. Be ye not unequally yoked with unbelievers. If they say, come, lay wait for blood, let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. And I liken to that, and you got to read the whole thing. Let us swallow them up. This is the plan. This is what we're going to accomplish. All of these things, swallow them up as a grave. Let's rob them of their life until they go down into the pit. We shall find riches and fill our houses with spoil. And that is whatever we can take from them. And they go on, cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. Okay? So my son, if sinners entice thee, consent thou not. If they say, dot, 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 you know, this is true. There's no deception here. If they say, cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse. And that's the same thing as, what concord hath Christ with Belial? Know you not that you are the temple of God? If he's living in us and we enter into agreements with the ungodly, we have what concord? What agreement? What contract could Christ have with Belial? Cast in thy lot among us, let us all have one purse for the purpose of laying wait for blood. Let us lurk privily for the innocent without cause. Are you paying for abortions? Are you paying to break up families? Are you paying for the murder and slaughter of people in other nations? Are you paying for the persecution and inquisitions? Are you paying for all that? Well, if you cast your lot among them and you have one purse with them, if you give them your money every month out of every paycheck, you're casting in your lot and you're having one purse with them, and they are killing innocent people. They are murdering and they are promoting idolatry. They are paying for the innocent to be slaughtered in other nations by warfare and by infanticide. What concord hath Christ with Belial? Cast in thy lot among us. Let us all have one purse. If they say that, he says, my son, walk not thou in the way with them. That means don't do it. Don't cast in your lot among them. Don't have one purse with them. Refrain your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil and make haste to shed blood. And most of us are not very much smarter than a bird, because the preacher says here, he says, surely in vain the net is spread in the sight of any bird. But we're so stupid, we walk right into it without questioning. They put a little bird seed on there, on that net, and we go, oh, that's what we're looking for, that bird seed. We focus on that. Yes, I want to work. Give me the numbers so I can work. And we walk right into the net, and we sign on the line, and we have a concord with Belial. Yes, we accept a mark of the beast, because it is a mark of the beast, and it is a financial mark of a beast. It is the closest thing we have today to what the scripture calls in the book of Revelation, the mark of the beast. And since we know who ends up controlling the monetary system, and you know there's a great mystery in the land today, who's really in charge of the money? It's all hidden behind a cloud, and it's all fuzzy. Most people think that the Federal Reserve is part of the federal government. That's how deceived most people are. But those people that are searching it out, we have to audit the Fed. But still, where are the people behind the curtain? Who are these hidden people? You know, the scripture tells us who it is. It's the first beast that's going to require everyone to have a mark, an identifying number or an identifying mark to buy or sell or trade in that system. We already know. The scripture tells us who it is. Well, we're out of time for today. Join me next time on Cross the Border. And remember, in everything you say and everything you do, bless his holy name. Hallelujah.